for Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Leologos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now. Welcome to another week of the Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program which bridges the global Greek community and which airs on 24 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and today I would like to welcome our new listeners on WRCT 88.3 FM in Pittsburgh and on the online radio station WMSDB, which are new additions to the Leologos Radio broadcast network. Today on our broadcast, and as part of the Leologos interview series, we will feature the first part of a two-part interview with Greek journalist Dimitris Yiannopoulos, who previously served as the press advisor for the former finance minister of Greece, Yanis Varoufakis, during Varoufakis' tenure as finance minister. In the first part of our interview with Mr. Yiannopoulos, We will discuss his time working as the press advisor to Varoufakis, and Yiannopoulos will share with us some rather revealing details about the true agreements which Varoufakis made with Greece's lenders in early 2015 during the first months of the then newly elected Syriza-led government, agreements which, contrary to the public image of Varoufakis as an anti-austerity renegade, actually tied Greece into further austerity. Part 1 of our interview with journalist Dimitris Yiannopoulos, former press advisor to the ex-finance minister of Greece, Yannis Varoufakis, is coming up next here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. The Dialogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Dialogos Radio. Joining us today on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series is Greek journalist Dimitris Yiannopoulos, who is the former press advisor to the well-known economist Yannis Varoufakis during his tenure as Greece's finance minister in the first half of 2015. Mr. Yiannopoulos will share with us some rather interesting insights regarding Varoufakis and his tenure as Greece's finance minister, while we will also discuss present-day political developments in Greece in part two of this interview. Mr. Yiannopoulos, welcome to our program.
Hello, and thanks for having me, Michael.
Describe for us, first off, your experience as the press advisor to Yannis Varoufakis during his tenure as the finance minister of Greece.
Well, broadly speaking, my experience was exciting at first and hopeful, but it gradually became hectic, grueling, and ultimately disappointing and anxiety-ridden until the end. It became depressing. And that's because the first 2 weeks, everybody in Greece, some 80% of the Greek population supporting the Greek government in its effort to make the cause of rescuing the Greek people from their predicament was a fair one, was a just one, and even right-wing people, conservative people, were acknowledging publicly that the government is for the first time making the hopes and the grievances and the complaints of Greece known abroad after some 5 or 6 years of an oppressive memorandum of understanding is really the code name for a regime of economic discipline and supervision, surveillance. And after those 2 weeks of hope and excitement came some grueling weeks of hectic effort to follow Varoufakis' communicative strategies. It was really a publicity campaign, one in which he believed that he could overturn the negative agreements which he had himself made, both in public and privately, with the Troika. And that was really the problem of those 4 or 5 months, that the agreement of the 20th of December of February 2015 was an agreement that paved the way for a kind of chicken game, a theatrical kind of negotiation in which both sides were speaking through each other and waiting for the end of the extension that was given to Greece in order to clash. And that's what happened in the end, and it was disastrous for Greece, as I expected, at least 2 months before the fateful end of June, early July.
We are speaking with journalist Dimitris Giannopoulos here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. In a recent article of yours, you referred to the first major development which took place under the watch of Yanis Varoufakis as Greek finance minister, namely the Eurogroup agreement in February 2015. Now, at the time, this was presented as a major victory for Varoufakis and for the Syriza-led government, but you, however, have described it as the first major defeat of Varoufakis and that government. So what exactly took place leading up to that agreement?
Well, the irony is that the word defeat was first used by Varoufakis himself in an interview with Paul Mason back in September 2015, after he resigned, when he said that of course, 20th of February was a big success of the government, but 4 days later we were defeated. And that was the first time when I started suspecting that something happened 4 days later that proved the 20th of February to be a defeat from the start, not 4 days later. It's somewhat complicated, but let me say what the 20th of February agreement basically involved. It concerned an extension of the so-called debt loan agreement that was valid at the time. The loan agreement that was first signed in March 2012. By Samaras, the conservative former prime minister. And Samaras had given the new government, the Syriza government, had requested 2 months extension that was expiring at the end of February. So on the 20th of February, the government was seeking an extension of that extension, right? And so the 20th of February agreement gave it 4 months. But what it said was that the Greek government is going to present a few reforms, which, if they are in accordance with the current arrangements, it doesn't. The agreement does not use the word current memorandum of understanding. When he says current arrangement, and he uses these terms 8 times in a document that's no longer than a page and a half, it means that the memorandum is still valid. And so if the Troika, renamed the institutions by Varoufakis, agreed to the proposals for reforms, the list of reforms made by the Greek government, then the negotiations would start in order to complete the current assessment of of the government's performance in compliance with the current arrangements, which is, of course, the memorandum. But it was phrased What I mean is that that the agreement was phrased in such a way as to allow a very tenuous interpretation that really there was no memorandum anymore, that the government would propose reforms and all that the Troika would do was to accept or reject or amend these reforms. Well, it wasn't like that. And just because Varoufakis interpreted it in this positive way, the Troika used a ruse, a very clever trap, in order to force Varoufakis to admit that all that they would be negotiating for was the same memorandum of understanding that Samaras had left unfinished. So on the 24th of February, during a teleconference in which the Troika was supposed to accept the list of reforms which Varoufakis had presented, the Troika said, this list is okay, but it would not be a replacement for the memorandum of understanding. Now, at that point, Varoufakis, according to his own later memoirs, and I'm referring specifically not only his book, but also interviews made after he resigned in July 2015, he protested that position of the Troika, saying that this was counter to the logic of the 20th of February agreement. But because the expiry date was only 4 days away, because there would be a rupture, as he called it, if the government did not abide by or allow the 20th of February agreement to be validated by the Troika, the institutions, and the Eurogroup, he retreated. And he retreated in a way which allowed him to say that, well, I didn't actually retreat in writing. I retreated just in words, and that was my mistake, of course, because the government was then split and all that. But that was really his mistake what he meant by mistake was the fact that he said yes to the Troika terms of reviving the Memorandum of Understanding without admitting that that was a binding agreement. And how did it become binding? Well, 3 days later, he was forced by fraud and deceit by the Troika, he was forced to sign two very specific formal documents. The one was the extension of the Master Financial Assistance Agreement, which was really the loan agreement of March 2012. And the second document was the memorandum terms. It was the same document that the Troika presented to the government, to Alexis Tsipras, through Jean-Claude Juncker on the 25th of June. It was really, nothing had changed. For the Troika, these are the terms that remain to be complied with after Samaras had failed to complete his obligations. So basically, the whole 4 months of later negotiations, so-called negotiations, was a very dramatic and almost manic attempt by Varoufakis to overturn this situation by a kind of media blitz, a publicity campaign, believing that by turning the public opinion to his favor, global public opinion that is, he would be able to force either Mrs. Merkel or President Obama to interfere, to intervene with Wolfgang Schäuble and the Eurogroup and say, you know, okay, give him a few crumbs of concessions so that we can go ahead and not have another Greek crisis in our midst. That was basically it. The Troika, having secured Varoufakis' signatures and his silence regarding this particular secret agreement, had no reason to negotiate. All it had to do is wait for the Greek economy to crumble, as it did with a continuous capital flight, the flight of deposits, as well as the flight of businesses abroad. And in a situation of financial credit asphyxiation, the Greek government was losing support both in Greece and abroad. That was the situation. In fact, all this dramatic effort by Varoufakis was only served his own image abroad rather than Greece's. In fact, there were instances where he was losing support, public support, both in Greece but also abroad. You know, instances like the Paris March interview, where he was shown to be a bon viveur, living in expensive houses and having expensive food, and or the other interview with German TV network where they showed him showing the finger to Germany in 2013, I think. But anyway, the point is that throughout these 4 months that followed the what I call the defeat of February 24th, the government was unable to overturn the situation to its favor.
In your opinion, what should the Syriza-led government have done during this crucial period in February 2015 when a supposedly major negotiation and political battle was taking place?
Well, from the start, it should have refused to negotiate anything with Eurogroup and the Troika at gunpoint, under threat of either a forced Grexit or credit asphyxiation and closure of the banks. This is not a negotiation when an economy is in dire straits. It's constantly strangulated with a lack of funds because it has no control of monetary policy, cannot finance banks to finance the market, it cannot borrow short term in order to pay its dues. It had to draw funds from the public purse and go into a kind of halt in payments to the private sector. The state stopped paying its arrears to the public sector. So that was all the result of being unable to counter the main framework of the situation which the new government had faced, which is a situation of economic blackmail. So the first instance was when the president of Eurogroup, Jeroen Dijsselbloem, arrived in Athens to meet Varoufakis on the 30th of January 2015, where Dijsselbloem said, you either sign up to an extension of the memorandum or we're going to shut down your banks. Now, at that moment, of course, a government that was just elected had enormous political capital in its hand to reject that, and to reject that in public and say to him, you know, if you want to insist on this, you have to say it to the media people who are waiting next door. And I'm going to tell you that this government, under no circumstances, will take this blackmail anymore. I'm sure that if Varoufakis' position was spelled out on these terms behind closed doors, Dijsselbloem would have retreated, and a new framework, a less extorting framework, would have been developed, built between the two. Then, of course, came February the 4th, 2015, when Varoufakis was meeting Mario Draghi in Frankfurt, the head of the European Central Bank. And Mario Draghi told him that, you know what, I'm withdrawing the waiver to Greek bonds tonight. And instead of him storming out of the meeting and saying and protesting a totally legal act by the European Central Bank, because there was no reason for withdrawing the waiver after the Greek banks had passed stress tests in December and they had a clean bill of health. There was no real justification for the European Central Bank to withdraw the waiver from Greek bonds to be accepted as collateral for loans by the Greek banking system. Instead of protesting this decision, Varoufakis almost justified it by saying, well, you know, the Greek banks are bankrupt anyway, and we're going to arrive to some kind of an agreement later this week or the week next, and this withdrawal of the waiver would be reinstated. Of course, nothing like that happened. Instead, the withdrawal of the waiver was finalized, and the government was prevented from making new issues of treasury bills, short-term debt, that is, borrow in short-term markets, as it was doing up to that time. And so it lost two sources, the Greek economy lost two sources of liquidity. On the one hand, the cost of money to the Greek banking system was raised because they had to rely on the ELA, the Emergency Liquidity Assistance Fund, which works through the Greek Central Bank, the Bank of Greece. And on the other hand, the Greek public sector could not finance its short-term liabilities with short-term loans by issuing treasury bills, which usually the Greek banks would buy on very good terms, I might say, you know, around 3 or 4% for 6 months. It's almost 10 times the interest rate, or the going interest rate for short-term borrowing in Europe at the time. So basically, right from the start, right from the outset, the beginning of February, the government was in a stranglehold, right? And my idea, the way I saw things and I see them now, is that if at that time the government risked something like a resignation, a threat to resign, or the launch of a campaign throughout Europe to protest at the treatment of Greece like a protectorate. At that moment, when the political capital it had gained after its election was huge, the chance of the Eurogroup and the Eurozone people and Wolfgang Schäuble making some concessions was far greater than in June and July, when the economy had effectively collapsed and it couldn't, the banks had to close, and there was little really that one could do at that time but to say, right, we call it a day with the euro and we're going back to the drachma. That, of course, being totally unprepared for that eventuality, the consequences would be dire for the Greek people, of course, and the government itself. So I believe that by not sticking to its original position and by not refusing to be blackmailed, in the beginning it ended up being blackmailed and facing an ultimatum in the end of the process, after the economy had suffered very severe blows in terms of capital flight, business flight, people withdrawing their deposits, people, youths leaving the country in hundreds of thousands, etc.
This is the Alagos Radio. We will return after a short break.
Πόσα χρόνια χάλασα, ζωή σαν άγρια θάλασσα. Τα σημάδια σου ξεπλένω, αδική καρδιά. Πόσες νύχτες έκλαψα, πόσες πίγρες έθαψα. Όμως πια δε σε γυρεύω. πότε θα με θυμηθείς, όταν κι εσύ θα πληγωθείς και θα θες απελπισμένα δρόμο για να λυτρωθείς, καρδιά μου. Κάποτε θα με θυμηθείς, όταν κι εσύ θα πληγωθείς και θα θες απελπισμένα δρόμο για να λυτρωθείς, μη φοβηθείς. Καρδιά, πες μου τι σου έφτεξα, έπαιξα και έχασα τα κομμάτια μου μαζεύω. Κάποτε θα με θυμηθείς, όταν κι εσύ θα πληγωθείς και θα θες απελπισμένα δρόμο για να λυτρωθείς, καρδιά μου. Κάποτε θα με θυμηθείς, όταν κι εσύ θα πληγωθείς και θα θες απελπισμένα δρόμο για να λυτρωθείς, μη φοβηθείς.
We now return to the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio. We are on the air with journalist Dimitris Yiannopoulos here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series regarding Varoufakis' actions as Greece's finance minister, and especially his actions prior to the finalized Eurogroup agreement of February 2015, he have remarked that Varoufakis is the next Andreas Georgiou, referring, of course, to the embattled former head of Greece's statistical authority, Elstat. Do you believe that Varoufakis must face prosecution for his actions as finance minister of Greece?
No, I never actually said that. I don't believe that the truth is a blame game, and this is unfortunately a stance which the Greek establishment has inculcated, has enforced to the Greek people's minds, that anything that happens and requires investigation, the investigation has to be done through the proper judicial process, and has nothing to do with finding the truth. It's really finding who to blame. And I never believed that Varoufakis needed to go to the court, because his actions were not the same as Andreas Georgiou. Andreas Georgiou colluded with the Troika and Eurostat in order to falsify the deficit of 2009, which effectively pushed us into this disaster, whereas Varoufakis's mistakes are really the government's political errors that need to be understood as such in order to be rectified, rather than in order to send the culprits to jail. If they end up in jail, that's another matter. I don't believe they should end up in jail, because there are other priorities at hand, right? How to change the regime in Greece. You might want to give an amnesty to the people responsible if they stop doing the catastrophe that they're doing at the time. But anyway, the point is that Varoufakis himself has used this idea of, you know, please take me to the Supreme Court in order to make my case against the attacks and the accusations from the opposition, which attacks and accusations were completely false and fraudulent. They were implying that Varoufakis was somehow bent on pushing Greece out of the euro and preparing for the drachma, which is not what he was doing. Absolutely, he's a staunch European. He's now become even more of a transnationalist and a federalist, and under no circumstances would he fathom taking Greece out of the euro.
We are on the air here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series with journalist Dimitris Yiannopoulos for part two of our interview. Yanis Varoufakis has established a new pan-European movement, the Democracy in Europe 2025 movement, or DiEM25, with the stated mission of democratizing the European Union, and indeed Varoufakis has not ruled out the possibility that his movement will participate in national elections in Europe, including in Greece. How do you view this new movement, and do you believe that the European Union in its current form can even be reformed or democratized?
I think the fact that the same media networks that were lambasting and criticizing and vilifying Varoufakis during his tenure have suddenly become his main supporters, casting him something like the new Thucydides or the new Winston Churchill over his so-called memoirs, you know, the book that he's publishing now called Adults in the Room, shows that his new movement has got a lot of support from certain quarters that are concerned with anything other than democracy, right? I mean, without going further into this topic, I would say that if you are saying that there's no democracy in any European institution, and all of them need to be democratized, what you're saying, in fact, is that the government, the European Union and the Eurozone in particular, are a sort of dictatorship. They are an authoritarian regime, an imperial force, under the leadership of Germany, of course. But Varoufakis is not saying that. In fact, he's saying that the only reason why why the European Union needs to be democratized is in order to avert what he calls the rebirth of monsters of the past, meaning the fringe far-right groups that have emerged out of the current crisis in Europe, which is a complete nonsense, of course. The real danger in Europe is a clear and present danger, right? The danger of an imperial regime which has different tiers or layers of oppression, with Greece being its most oppressed member, so to speak, but also the other countries facing one form of arbitrary rule by Brussels or another. So the movement, which is really not a movement, it's something of a hybrid, in my opinion. DiEM25 is a hybrid of an NGO, non-governmental organization, and the Varoufakis fan club. And I don't think he realizes or has any idea what the politics of democracy and democratization involve. You need to be active at every level of the apparatus which you want to democratize, and if you believe that it can't be democratized at that level, you have to fight it, you have to resist, you have to set up alternative mechanisms and institutions, not revitalize the current ones. I mean, how can you democratize the European Central Bank, which is really the enforcer of austerity policy and all the neoliberal policies that Europe, under the German guidance, is currently following.
This concludes part one of our interview with the Greek journalist Dimitris Yiannopoulos here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. Stay tuned for our next English language broadcast 2 weeks from today for part two of this interview, where Mr. Yiannopoulos will discuss economic and political developments in Greece today. Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia.
Δυνάμει και σπανίως υπόνομοι. Το κακό παραμονεύει και τη χώρα υπονομεύει. Οι κυβερνήσεις πέφτουνε, μα οι αγαπημένοι μας δική μας τυράννα μας γονατίζει, μας χαλά κι αυτή μας ανασταίνει. Πέστε να'ρθουν σεισμολόγοι, είναι σοβαροί λόγοι. Γιατί βγες στην καρδιά μου, θα συμβεί σεισμός βαθιά μου. Οι κυβερνήσεις πέφτουνε, μα οι αγαπημένοι μας δική μας τυράννα μας γονατίζει, μας χαλά κι αυτή μας ανασταίνει. Πέφτουνε, μα οι αγαπημένοι μας δική μας τυράννα μας γονατίζει, μας χαλά κι αυτή μας ανασταίνει.
find the Alagos Radio's programming in iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Alagos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere in iTunes, iPhones, iPads, and on Apple TV. Check us out today in Apple Podcasts and in iTunes Internet Radio. TheAlagosMedia.org, our website which brings you the latest news from the Alagos Radio, live streaming of the Alagos Radio 24/7, podcasts, on-demand programming, and much more. Visit us today at TheAlagosMedia.org. This is the Alagos Radio, where we just wrapped up this week's the Alagos interview series and part one of our two-part interview with Greek journalist Dimitris Yiannopoulos, formerly the press advisor to the ex-finance minister of Greece, Yannis Varoufakis. On our next English language broadcast in 2 weeks, we will continue with part two of our interview with Mr. Yiannopoulos, where he will continue by analyzing for us economic and political developments in Greece at the present time. In addition, we will hear an interview with Maria Karamitsos, founder of the up-and-coming website Windy City Greek, based out of Chicago and targeting the Greek-American community. In the meantime, you can find the podcast of the Greek language version of our interview with Dimitris Yiannopoulos on our website, thealagosmedia.org, in Apple Podcasts, TuneIn.com, and other podcast directories, while the podcast of our English language interview with Dimitris Yiannopoulos will be available following the broadcast of part two of this interview. On our website, thealagosmedia.org, you can also find our articles and written work, including our recent three-part series on the true origins of the European Union, its non-democratic and autocratic nature, the reasons why a country like Greece might wish to consider a departure from the European Union and the Eurozone, and an analysis of the proposals which have been put forth by prominent economists and scholars as to how such a departure could take place. In another recent article of ours, we take a satirical yet serious look at two increasingly prominent Greek oligarchs, their intertwined relationship with the current Syriza-led government in Greece, and the seven steps through which one can become a Greek oligarch themselves. For our listeners who read Greek, we also have published a recent three-part series in Greek analyzing the Greek government's outright hypocrisy and impunity when it comes to the Greek broadcast media and the many lies upon which the government's purported efforts to license radio and television stations are based upon. All of this written work and much, much more, including our online radio station, The Alagos Radio 24/7, can be found on our website, thealagosmedia.org. That wraps up this week's edition of The Alagos Radio. This is Michael Nevradakis. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. σαν καπνός που κλαίει να βγει απ' το αίμα σαν κραυγή. Θα ανεβώ να τραγουδήσω τη φωτιά να φέρω πίσω, τη φωτιά να φέρω πίσω. Πυρκαγιά με πυρκαγιά, μια ζωή πληρώνω για σιδερώματα σχισμένα απ' τον ήρωτο σου για. Πυρκαγιά με πυρκαγιά, μια ζωή πληρώνω για σιδερώματα σχισμένα απ' τον ήρωτο σου για. Ζωή πληρώνω για σιδερώματα σχισμένα απ' τον ήρωτο σου για.
Take Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Dialogos Radio and Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. Dialogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Dialogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com.